Sonic Youth's album Daydream Nation was released in 1988, and the group was signed to Geffen Records largely because of acclaim for the album from fans and the press. Sonic Youth continues to play as revered art punk elders. This summer, Daydream Nation was reissued in a deluxe edition double CD. Critic Milo Miles considers how well Sonic Youth's work has held up, as well as the sensibility of indie rock and double LPs.
Back in 1988, I wrote a review that paired Daydream Nation with another double LP, U2's Rattle and Hum. But it wasn't an article mechanically dictated by format and release date. The two albums offer contrasting views of rock and roll and its audience. U2 tied to the past, Sonic Youth pointing toward the future. U2 is a band whose grand gestures and air of crusading quests make it ideal for billboards and stadiums. Bono is in his element, communing with tens of thousands. The group lays claim to populist blues and folk rock. Sonic Youth is a band of interiors and side streets. They may proclaim about big issues, but it feels like they're doing it while you watch TV with them in the basement. Guitarist, songwriter, and singer Thurston Moore, in particular, proclaims his heart belongs to avant-garde classical noise and free jazz squawk, not exactly mass audience modes. It feels like Sonic Youth evolved into melodies, hooks, and catchy choruses, more to prove they were not afraid of them than to sell records. But evolve into them, they did. The final difference between U2 and Sonic Youth is that U2 keep faith in the old-fashioned rock and roll notion of delivering a message, the liberation of pop lyric wisdom. As Byron Coley points out in his liner notes to Daydream Nation, the lyrics of Sonic Youth songs are, if not irrelevant, the last thing the band works on. Bassist, singer, and songwriter Kim Gordon occasionally delivers a complete narrative, like Kissability, but the standard method is for a clutch of phrases to stab into your head. And more than ever before for Sonic Youth, on Daydream Nation, the stabs are more pleasure than puzzle. I don't know what Teenage Riot is about exactly, but I sure get the point. It's often mentioned that Sonic Youth pressed the Geffen label to sign Nirvana as though the bands couldn't be more different. I am sure, however, that the older band recognized that Kurt Cobain had a genius for hammering home catchphrases that stuck with a listener, even if the other words were unhearable. It's just that his obsessions, anger, anguish, and alienation, were more straightforwardly commercial than Sonic Youth's urban collages. The biggest such collage here is the so-called Trilogy set, The Wonder, Hyperstation, and Eliminator Jr., which amount to an ode to New York in the 1980s. The city is a wonder town, the capital of Daydream Nation. As the songs fold in on themselves and restart, guitarist and singer Lee Rinaldo and drummer Steve Shelley take particular delight in running the Gotham voodoo down. A consumer note on the extra disc worth of live versions of Daydream Nation songs and cover tunes. They're fun for fans, interesting and sometimes exciting entertainment, but they are not revelatory. The original recordings tell you everything fundamental about the songs. At best, the new material should jolly you into getting a CD of Daydream Nation, or maybe your second CD package. It's worth it, because rock today lives in the intimate indie spaces that fill Daydream Nation.
Music critic Milo Miles lives in Boston. This is Fresh Air.